Okay, good vuch, everybody. Ksivu Chasim Ateva, as we're holding just before Rosh Hashanah. Today's daf is Ksivu Staf Pei. We're here at the mission at the bottom of Ayin Tesim Abeis. We're continuing to talk about Nichse Malug, which again belongs to the wife, but that the husband is free to use the produce. So if he has, if they have an apple orchard, so he's allowed to sell those apples, do whatever he wants with it, but the land itself belongs to the wife. So the mission says like this: Hamotzi Hotzos on Nichse Yishta. If the husband spends money to improve the property, he either plants more trees or he improves the land or whatever. So hotzi harbei v'ochel kima v'ochel harbei. Even if he spent a lot and enjoyed a little, or spent a little and enjoyed a lot of produce, masha hotzi hotzi masha ochel ochel. Right, whatever he spent, whatever he consumed. Meaning, as long as he had some sort of produce. And he consumed some sort of produce from that transaction, even though he spent a lot of money on, let's say, fertilizing the field, and he only ate a little bit, so that's it. He loses all the money, and the reverse is true as well. And that lines up. But, however, hotiv lo achal, if, let's say, he spent a lot of money on fertilizer, and he didn't end up reaping any of the produce after that expenditure, and then they get divorced. Again, that's the key line here, because if they're still married, what's the difference? Right, so then he gets divorced. Right, so then yishava kama hotzi v'itol, he has to swear how much he spent. Right, and then and he can be paid for it. He can be reimbursed for the improvement on the field. The Gemara says, "V'kama kima, how much is a little bit?" Amar Ravasi, afilu grogros achas, even just a little bit, just a tiny single grogros, usually is a dried fig or whatever. V'usha achla derech kavod, as long as he ate it. In a proper way, right at the table. But he was just out in the field, just kind of like popping them into his mouth. So then that's not considered an achilas kavod. We have to define how much he would get in that case. Amar Rabbi Abba Amri Beirav. I feel the sugar to the Tamri. Right, even talking about a cake, usually they talk about a fig cake. Here we're talking about a date cake. Okay, Rashi says, Tamar Niduchin Yachad Kederach Shador Sintainim. Okay, right, so Seder, some sort of. Even if it's a little bit of a date cake, what about if he ate the dates that were pressed out after you squeezed them out to make beer? Which is teku, unclear if that's enough of a benefit to say that you benefited from your expenses and you don't get paid back. Teku lo achla derech kavod mai. What is the level? What is the shear? Right, of if he ate not derech kavod, meaning if he's out in the field and he's eating apples all day, he ate 38 apples, that seems to be some sort of anah. Hey, it wasn't derech kavod, it wasn't at his table with a fork and knife. So how much does he have to eat, let's say, out in the field or whatever? As Rashi says, bekama havi achila, right, how much could be considered to be a benefit that he wouldn't get reimbursed for all the money he spent on the field? Samar ula, plugi batreim orayv marav, machogas in Eretz Yisrael, chadamar beki Yisrael, vachadamar beki dinar. One of them says an Yisrael is worth, one of them says a dinar is worth. A dinar is, I think, 22 or 24 Yisarim. I don't remember how much, but it's a lot more, so it's a very wide-ranging opinions. Amrei, dainim b'mpadisa, the Dayanan in Pupadisa, that Avad Rav Yehuda Uvdei b'chavilis moros. That they said that Rav Yehuda actually said that chavilis moros, that even vines, which Rashi says over here, are Michael Pilim, right, that are elephant feed, that's even enough to consider it as if he benefit from the field. The Gemara says Rav Yehuda l'tamei. This is Rav Yehuda. Shita Damar Rav Yehuda. Achla or l'shviyaz v'kilayim. If for whatever reason, the husband, not the husband, I'm sorry. This is a case where we're trying to figure out if a guy owns a field and he benefited from the field in three usher ways, right? But his first year he benefited Arla, second year he benefited from Shemitah, third year he benefited from Kalaim. Even though those are usher, still Hariza Chazaka, that will still, right, we'll assume if you need 3 years on a field to assume that it's yours, well, even though he benefited from those usher things, so that is going to be a chazaka. And Pasha says that again, that if he's using these zmorim, even if it's a zmorim, that's considered to be a shaykh of the field. If you look at Rashi, how do you see that from, what does that have to do with anything? So Rashi says, lokech shnei orla she'en hanason ela bezmoros, meaning he said that may not necessarily be usher, right? If he benefited from orla, can't eat the fruit, but he can use the vines, right? So that must be in a situation where he benefited from the vines. So if you see that counts as him, the husband, or not the husband, but the guy on the field, has that's a year of rights to the field. Right? So we see that that benefit is considered to be enough of a benefit. Okay, rather be short and talk about like what in the world is going on with these two cases. They seem not to be related whatsoever. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, Hamotzi Yotzos, Nechsei Ishto Ketana. Let's say a husband is married to a ketana, and then he spends money improving the field. That's Kamotzi Nechsei Acher Dami. That's as if he spent money on someone else's field, i.e. he gets paid back for it if the girl opts out of the marriage, right? If she does miyun, then she becomes a gedola. My time, why is that? Because up to Rabban and Takanta, kihechi delo nifsidinu, we're concerned that the husband will leave the field alone, right? They get married, she's 10. It's weird, but okay, fine. It was common back then. And the husband doesn't want to spend any money on the field because she could just opt out of the marriage and they were never married. So just to make sure that he doesn't kind of neglect the field, right? They said that he would get paid back either way. It's the Nafula Arba Mea Zuzi. There's a woman who got inheritance for 400 zuz. And the money was in Bechozoi. It was very far. Azul Gavra, her husband went and Afik Shismea. Her husband went and spent 600 zuz to go get that 400 zuz money. I see arba mea behadi dekasi itzrichle chadzuzah v'shaka minayim. Right, and sure enough, he was traveling to get that 400 zuz, and on the way back, he needed an extra zuz, and he took a zuz. Right, he took one zuz out of that 400. Right, to kind of, I guess he had to tip the camel driver or whatever. So I was like, "Made the Rabbi Ami." He went to refund Rabbi Ami, and I'm like, "Masha otziotzi, masha acha acha." I said, "Yeah, you just benefited from the Nichsei Maluk, right, and therefore you're not entitled to get the 600 zuz back because you took one zuz, right? It's terrible, right? So Amalei the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan says, Rami Ami, what do you mean? How do you mean the Hichadachol Pire? Now, when we say that if the guy benefited, he doesn't get reimbursed. That's only if he benefited from the produce. But here, Hakarna Ka'achel, here, what is he doing? He's going back to get the 400 zuz of inheritance, right? The assumption is he eventually will buy a field, and then he can use payrus. But here, when he took one of those 400 zuz, right, that was from the Karen, that's from the actual field. So that's Vehotsahi, that's considered to be a proper, what's it called? That's considered to be a proper a proper expense, right, and that to get that money back. So Imkain, he said, Rabbi Ami said, okay, Imkain, havalei it's hotzi v'lo achal, yishava kama hotzi v'itol. Right, so therefore, right, that fair enough, he didn't benefit from the produce, and therefore he should swear how much he paid to get that money back, right, and then they unfortunately got divorced afterwards, so then he would get reimbursed, right, for the 600 zuz he spent to get the 400 zuz money. Yishava kama hotzi, meaning just if you wonder why someone would do that, just because it makes no sense, right? If you know, you have money in across the country, and the plane ticket costs more than the money, that you're probably just going to leave it alone. So what they would usually do, though, again, as we've been explaining, is that they would take the 400 zuz, they would buy a field, right? And that, well, that's an investment, right? So, and once you talking about, you know, the husband, theoretically, when they're still married, they want to get that money, they can invest it, and Pasha says they would end up making more than the 600 zuz that he spent to get it. Well, obviously, that didn't work out, because they got divorced, and then he wanted to be reimbursed, so that was the halacha. Okay, Yishava Kamei Hotzi V'itol, again, in this case, where he hasn't, if the husband has not benefited from the produce, even though he spent a lot of money on the field, so he should swear how much he spent, and then he gets the money back. Amar Rav Asi, Rabbi Asi, Vusha Yesh Shevach Keneged Hotza. That's only if the Shevach, if the benefit is corresponds to the expense that he paid. So Gemara says, "My Hilchasa, what are you talking about? What does that mean?" Right. So Rashi says there are two possibilities, right? Either, right, again, with it's a chum, either a chumrah, right, or a kula. Right, if you look at Rashi, the ma'alchaza, meaning when you say that the expense is to line up according to what he benefited, is it a kula that if the benefit is more than he spent, he doesn't need to swear, or is it a chumrah to say that if he spent more than he benefited, right, he doesn't get the extra money back? So the question, that was the shaila. Namar Abaye, Shimhaya Shevach Yoser Al Hotzah, No Talos Hotzah V'lo Shvua. That if the benefit, it's not the produce that he got, but the benefit on the field. If the benefit on the field is more than he spent, so then he gets paid for the whatever he spent, the expenses, right, without a Shvua. Amar Rava, Imkain, right, also the roommate. Well, if that's true, right, then he's gonna lie, he's gonna mess up. Not he's gonna mess up, he's gonna scam them. Then he's gonna say that he spent too much. Like, and that he's going to say, oh, yeah, sure, it was more than sure, of course it was. It was way more than the expenses, meaning he's going to lie about it. Not the expenses. The expenses that he's going to lie about, the expenses being more than the benefit of the field. So it must be l'chumra. Right, if he spent too much more, if he spent more than the improvements in the field, so then in lo elahotzah shir shavach uvishua, for then all he gets is whatever the improvement was, and there he has to take it a shavua. If I look, that's the final shayla. Baal shahorid a recent act of mal. Let's say the husband brings sharecroppers into the field, and then they get divorced. All right, so mal, what's the deal? Meaning, do the sharecroppers get their salary or their improvements in the field as well? Right, that's the baal nachus, and therefore is the whole reason the sharecroppers were there because of the husband, and when he leaves, so they leave. I mean, it's just like the husband benefited a little bit from the field and doesn't get paid back for his expenses, so too the sharecroppers don't get paid back. Or do we say that no, that this field needs to be worked to be marashach, and they're just switching bosses, right? They were working on the field and they were brought in by the husband. The husband's gone now. Okay, so now their boss is the wife, right? And they should be able to get paid back for the expenses that they did, you know, that they paid to make the field better. So Maskevlo Rava Bar Rav Chanan, he said, one second, what's the difference, right? Regardless of whether the sharecroppers are brought in by the husband, the wife, whatever, right? How is that different than someone who goes into someone else's field without permission, right? And plants stuff and makes it better, right? You just show up into your friend's field and start working and start making it better. So what do? Shaman lo v'yada atachtona, because we evaluate how much he spent. And he only gets paid back for his expenses, right? Not according to how much he made the field better. I mean, why should the sharecroppers lose that? Why should that be any different, right? Who cares whether they were brought in by the husband, they went in on their own? At least they should be people who went in on their own. So Gemara says, "Hasam laki inish the tarach, haka ikabal the tarach." Because over there, there's no one else to fix the field. Right, so without that guy, meaning that guy goes into his friend's field, there's no one else working the land, he starts making improvements, right? So he gets that salary, or he gets paid back for whatever he did. But here, the husband should have done it himself. Right, the husband could do it himself, right? It could have been the husband. The husband decided to pay someone else to do the work that he should have done himself. So that's not comparable whatsoever. And therefore, right, you can't learn the halacha from that. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah, so what's the deal? It depends, right? If the husband can work the field, and therefore the sharecroppers are just like kind of doing the work instead of him, therefore he's stuck with Baal, he's stuck with him. Right, so they're just basically instead of the husband, and when the husband's gone, right, they're tough luck. Right, they're basically instead of him. But if the husband's not able to work the field, then the field needs people to work it, and therefore, right, the wife was going to have to bring, you know, these people anyway, so they're just switching bosses, right, the husband leaves, and now they're the bosses, is the wife. Let's say the husband sold his right to the peiros of the wife's nichsim aluk. I mean, the husband gets the peiros, the apples in the orchard. Let's say he sold the apples. We get crazy. We have a girl in seminary this year who's allergic to apples. Airborne allergy to apples. So let's say he's allergic to apples. So he says, you know what? I'm selling my rights to the produce in this field. Can the husband do that? Meaning, does he own that? Now, how much, to what point do we say the husband owns the produce from this field? Mio mina mai dekani. Acne. Do we say that it's his? I mean, he acquires it mamish, right? That old Dama, or maybe keep the king of the Rabban and pays the Baal, right? When the husband decided that the nixay malog's payers goes to the husband, that's the mishum revich besa, because they want to benefit the house, right? Hopefully, right, the husband and wife will work on it together, right? The wife has a field, the husband has a produce, right? We want to benefit the house. Aval zvuni, but zvuni lo, but they didn't give him the koch. He doesn't own it to the point where, right, he has the koch to sell it. So Gemara says two possibilities. Yudavar, obviously machlokas. Yudavar mar marim and mishne derava amar masha also and her papa amar mishne derava lo also b'luklam. Right, two opinions in the name of Rava, whether that the sale is valid or the sale is not valid. Amar papa, how do you? Ha di Yehuda mar bar Marimar, right? Lav beferishit mar ella bechlola idmar. And Yehuda bar Marimar's opinion of Rava Shita was not actually heard beferish from Rava. It was just inferred from another halacha. And as we'll see in a second, it's actually incorrect, as you might imagine, because he had two statements in the name of Rava. The first one was incorrect because it was just understood based on an assumption. The it's the ayla le gavra. Tarte Amhasa. Because there's a woman who brought in two servants into the marriage, and also Gavanasiv Itzachrisi, and Ayale Chada Minayu. And the husband married another woman and took one of those servants and gave it to her. So, Asa, the commander of us, the woman came, and Tzvacha, the first wife, came and cried out. She said, Lo Ashkukpe. She said, hey, what's going on over here? And Lo Ashkukpe, Rava didn't listen to her. So, as the Gemara says, Ma de Chaza, Savar, Mishum de Savar, Masha Asa Asui. So, the guy who thought, maybe you, the barber, Bar Yehuda Mar Bar Marimar saw this and thought it was because that the husband has the right to sell right the produce, can assign this woman, okay, go work with that other wife, right, because he gets the produce of her next name. Look, he doesn't own the servant, but he can use the work done by the servant, and he assumed that the husband can sell and move around property like his rights like that. So Gemara says Velohi, and really it wasn't true, because Mishum Revach Besa Vakav Ravach, because what's the whole point of allowing the husband to use the produce of his wife's stuff is to make the house benefit. Well, guess what? This woman is also part of the house, right? He's married to two women, so therefore the house is still benefiting, right? So therefore that's why it was brought there. And therefore the halacha is Bal Shemacha Karka Laperos Lo Asa Lo Kum Klum. The husband is not actually allowed to sell, right, his right to his wife's peros. My time, oh, what's the reason? Amar Abaye Chashin and Shema Taksi from Rav, Amar Mishum the Rav Chabesa. Either, according to Abaye, we're concerned that the husband will just leave the field alone, meaning that if the guy who's getting the peros from the field, right, no one's going to tend to the orchard, right? Husband technically owns a field, right? He's not going to, right? We see it all the time. Person owns an apartment in another country or whatever as an investment. Doesn't make it any nicer, dilapidated, etc. Right? They don't bother to deal with it. And Rava says no. Mishum Revach Pesa. Again, the husband, because you know the only husband doesn't have ownership of the stuff. It's just because we want him to benefit from the produce, right? So that the house will have more revach, will have more benefit. But he was never able to sell the stuff that he owns. So my benayah, the Gemara asks obvious question: what's the difference between we're nervous that the keren, that the nichsei malug will either deteriorate or go bad, versus the fact that the husband doesn't actually own and they can't actually sell that stuff. So give me an eye out the makar of the mar. So a couple possibilities: either the nedunya, the nichsei malug, is right near the city, so therefore the wife will see the field all the time, right? And we're not nervous that the field will go bad and that the buyer of the produce will take care of the field. Inami or bal orisu, or the guy actually works the field, so we're not nervous that the husband is not going to work the field, because he is able to do that. He'll do it himself. I say inami or last answer zuzi vika avid bu iska, or what if the husband is taking the money from the sale, right, and doing parnasa, doing business with it, so then iska is business, right? So then, right, obviously that's going to be revach besa, right? That but still we're concerned that the field will deteriorate, so that would be a difference between Rava and the Abaye. Okay, this Mishnah basically goes to the end of the daf, pretty long Mishnah, but basically, again, there's, okay, let's just give an introduction. No, let's just read it and see how it goes. Shemaris Yama Mishnah Aflu L'Nechosim. Again, what's the deal if, let's say, if a woman is awaiting Yibum, and all of a sudden she inherits property, let's say her father passed away or something or whatever, so Modin Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Shemocheres Menosenes V'Kayim, right, she can sell and give it away, and that's legit, meaning she completely owns this property. But again, we talked about, right, whether if she's an Arusa or if she's an Nesua, right, or etc., but that this is certainly, right, if she's awaiting Yibum, right, we don't know if the Yibum is going to happen, right, usually Erisin leads to Nesuin, that's what we thought, right, maybe that she won't, can't really sell it, etc. But here everybody agrees, right, that certainly she's allowed to sell it, right? We're not necessarily sure if she's going to get Yibum or Chalitza. Mesa, let's say then she died, Rachman Atzlan, before Yibum. My Yasu B'Ksuba, so what do you do with the Ksuba? With the Nechasim and Nechnasim V'Yotze Yimimo. And the Nechasim that come in and out with her, meaning what that's referring to is the Ksuba says over here, that's talking about the Ksuba, the 100 or 200 Zuz that's in the Ksuba, as well as any other property that's in the Ksuba, i.e. the Nechse, what's called Nechse Yitzon Barzel, that's Ksuba. And Nechasim, Nechnasim V'Yotze Yimimo, that's talking about the Nechse Maluk. Right, what about that? What do you do with all this stuff? I think. Yes, and next thing we'll look, right? That's stuff that come in and out. So what's that's three types of property. That three types of money that she may get, right? The ksuba, and then the nechnetz on barzel, which is fixed, right? The fixed value written in the ksuba that she gets, you know, that regardless of whether it's more or less, and the nechnetz muluk, which can appreciate or depreciate based on its value, etc. So what do you do with that stuff? So Beishamai Omer, and Beishamai says, Yachliku Yorshe Habal in Yorshe Av, you should split it. I mean, you should split it. We don't know if she was going to do Yibum, we don't know if she's going to do Chalitza. So her Yorshim, which is her father's Yorshim, is really her Yorshim, and the husband's Yorshim, right, the potential husband, the Yavam's Yorshim, right, they split it. Beisil woman, Beisil says, no, Nechasim Beches Kasim, right, you leave the property where it is. Right, Ksuva Beches Kas Yorshe Abal, the Ksuva stays by the husband, by the husband Yorshim, right, who also passed away, obviously, right? Nechasim and Nechnasim Yosim Ima, right, so, and the Nechseid Malug, that's Beches Kas Yorshe Av, and that goes to the wife's Yorshim. Hiniach Echav Maus, let's say now the brother left over money. So again, the ksuba, now when a woman goes, does Yibum, the ksuba is taken from the husband, the dead husband's Yerusha. So let's say you left over money. So what do? You lekach lahem karka, you should take money, buy land with it. We saw this before, this phraseology before. Fuo koperos, right? And the new husband is allowed to eat the peros. Peros tlushim in the karka. Let's say the husband, the dead husband, left over metaltalin, really, right? You have produce that's not attached to the ground. So again, also you look at ben karka v'ocho peros, you buy some land, and then the husband can use right, the produce of the nechsim aluk. Hamuchubar in the karka. Let's say there was the apples were still on the tree. So Amar Rabbi Meir shaman osan kamen hen yafin peros, the kamen hen yafin below peros. We evaluate how much the field is worth with apples on it, without apples on it. The most you look, and the most are the extra is what again is what she's getting. He's getting you look at ben karka v'ocho peros. Right, you should take that and buy land, and then Yavam gets the part of the produce of that nechsei maluk. The chacham say no, peros hamechubar in the karka shalom. Right, anything that's attached to the ground belongs to the Yavam. I mean, that's not i.e. not the ksuba. The Gemara is going to already point out right that that can't work. Right, then that can't work at all because that existed maybe when the husband was still alive. Okay, either way, we have to explain what that means. Atlushim and a karka kodem zochabahem. Anything that's detached, whoever wants to take it can get it. Kodem hu zochah kodmahi. If the yavam comes first, he can get it. So then, but if kodmahi, if she came first, then you lucka kodem karka ruach kaperus. Then again, you should do the same thing we did before. Kodzal, let's say they got married, Hare ki ishto l'chol dover. They're fully married, right? Bilvad, except, shetek subas al nechse bale rishon, as we said before, the ksuba, right, is taken from the original husband. Lo yomar lo, he shouldn't say to her, ksubas ek munachas al shalachon. Now here, check it out, that cash on the table is your ksuba, i.e., because the point that what does he want to do with that stuff? He wants to actually take the rest of the property and kind of take it and invest it, whatever. But that doesn't work. All the Yerusha is achrai, which means that there's a lien, L-I-E-N, right, on all of it, to be able to collect the ksuba. V'chein, and so too, outside of a case of yibum, lo yomar adam le'ishto harei ksubasech munachas al shokhan, ela kol nechasev achrayim l'ksubasa. I mean, you shouldn't just say, here, that $100, that 100 zuz, that's your ksuba. No. All the property really is meshubed to the ksuba. Meaning that Taklas says you can't take off a lien, right, from a field, right? If you can sell a field, I'd say it's five fields, right? A guy wants to sell one of his fields, wants to sell it without a lien, so you can't do that. You can't be like, oh, your ksuba is that one. That doesn't work. The wife has a lien on all of them, right, until she collects the proper amount. Gersha, right, if they got divorced, meaning that after the yibum, right, the yavam divorced her, right, in the ela ksuba, right, then obviously she gets the ksuba from the first marriage, and that's when you can say, okay, that field is your ksuba. Hechzira, and if you got remarried, harei kachol nashem ve'in la ela ksuba bilvad. She's like any other woman who got remarried, right? She keeps right? The first ksuba, right? You don't have to set up a new ksuba, right? She just gets the original ksuba, right? You just a woman who gets remarried to her first husband, right? They use the original ksuba and go weiter. Okay, we'll go weiter in the Heilige Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.